I have a song here. I get to choose another song. This comes from the experience of Moses. We have some songs connected with his ministry. And this is the, it says in my Bible here, the song of Moses and Miriam, but the people joined in with this song. It was a song of triumph and thanksgiving to God who had led them out of bondage with a high and mighty hand and brought them through the Red Sea. And they sang. They were delivered. They saw God take care of their enemies too and close the sea over them. And so they sang in Exodus 15. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. I will praise him, and in praising him I will prepare him a habitation. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou settest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. What a great day, a great day of triumph, and a great song. It sounds like a spirit-inspired song that God gave to the people in response to what he had done for them. David Wilkerson has a sermon, and I've seen it in article form, where he says they sang the right song, but they sang it on the wrong side. Well, they should have sung it, according to him, instead of murmuring when they saw the sea in front of them and the enemies behind them and nowhere to turn. That was the time to sing the praises of the Lord. Well, I think we can, I'm not saying David Wilkerson's wrong, but I think that we can sympathize with their plight. And I like to see in this song that they are looking ahead, and you see that, in faith. Of course, they're elated because of what God has done for them, and their faith has risen greatly. And so now God can do anything. But it wasn't long till they came to another problem and they murmured again. That's the way we are. But we see God's stretched out hand here at a time when there was no salvation for them, no help for them. Salvation is of the Lord. And so it had to come from him. And it did. You know the story, that's why we don't have to read several chapters here. You know how God had changed the heart of Pharaoh and brought an awful, awful judgment upon his people. And he sent the Israelites forth and leave, you know, get out. And they did. God saved them and led them through the sea. When they had come there, God gave Moses the instructions. And that's one other thing you see so often in Moses. You see the servant of God, but you also see, as the Lord commanded Moses. God spoke to Moses so many times, and so many times Moses did just what God said. And God did marvelous things for his people. And this is one of the great ones that they were always to look back to and always to rejoice in. And they shouted, sang God's praises here. The Lord is my strength and my song. I'm going to praise him, for he has become my salvation. You read that also in Isaiah 12. And there you have even a greater reference to the work of Jesus Christ, where it says, "Oh God, I will praise you." In that day you will say, "Oh God, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Then in Psalm 118, again, that's a prophetic psalm, and it was sung at Passover time. All these psalms look forward to the salvation that we have in Christ, redemption through his blood. In Psalm 118, you also have, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation." But oh, how they rejoiced in what God had done for them and what he had also done to their enemies who had pursued them. And they sang, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" They were at a place where, I said this already, I know, but I just want to drive this home, that only God could help them. And who could have possibly thought that that was the way? What was the way to go? Was it to turn around and try to fight those pursuers? Certainly they never thought that God would lead them through the sea that was in front of them. It says that in Psalm 77. "Your way was not known, your footsteps in the sea." God's footprints were invisible. Psalm 77 is such an interesting psalm. I'm just going to turn to it for a moment with you because it has reference to this Red Sea deliverance. And one reason I just want to bring this thought to you. "Thy way is in the sea." The last verse, almost right near the end. "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people I remember my Uncle Arthur asking me to drive him. I was much younger, but he was not up to driving, or maybe his car was in the shop. I can't remember what it was, but he asked me to drive him to visit an elderly saint. He had worked in a mission in Manhattan, in a German area in Manhattan. Mostly German people were in this group in Yorkville. And here was an old sister, and she was bedridden. And he wanted to visit her and pray with her. And he asked me to go along. So I had many wonderful experiences taking people places and going with them. And this was another one that I never forgot. The lady was there in her bed, and we started talking. And I noticed something about her. I noticed that she complained a lot. And I guess she had a lot to complain about. Perhaps she had pain. Perhaps people that might have visited her didn't, or, you know, this type of thing. Or maybe she was running out of money. I can't remember the various things that she was complaining about, but that's what struck me, that she had a lot of troubles and a lot of and there was kind of a I don't know if it was getting toward despair in those complaints. And Uncle Arthur opened to Psalm 77. And I don't know that I had ever noticed Psalm 77 before. And he read toward the middle of the psalm, I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Now, I'm sure that this woman was the type of woman who would have said, years ago, things were so much better. You know, there were so much. Remember those good old days? It was like everybody got healed in the old days, and it just wasn't so. You know, just, but you have this selective memory. Well, we don't have to stick with that too long, but Uncle Arthur said to her, he was very, you know, he was kind of a realist, Uncle Arthur was, I said, this is my infirmity, you know, I recognized it, yes, this is my weakness, I'm sick in bed, you know, there's no denying it, but then I will remember those years. You talk about how great those times were. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old and meditate on all your work, talk of your doings. This psalm points to the greatness of God. At the beginning of the psalm, it says, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. But there's an expression of great trouble, great difficulty. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired. And then there are these what sound like very unbelieving questions. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Going through a dark time and wondering if God was noticing, if he really cared, if he would show his mercy again as he had in the past. And I said, to this will I appeal, to the years of the right hand of the Most High, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. And at the, in this psalm, you have him, the psalmist, speaking about the wonders that God did and how he redeemed his people, how his strength was shown among his people. Now, that can be depressing also when you think, God, you did so many wonderful things way back when. What about now? What? I believe the thought that grew out of all this for the psalmist and ought to for us when we pass through our difficult times and we have our questions and we start to wonder if this thing that we have been hoping for and praying for can ever come to pass. I believe the thought that grows out of all this is, as we meditate, as we remember, as we appeal, as we face the situation squarely and say, here it is. This is really true. This is happening to me. And yet I will think about God. This is what it seems to me comes. We come to this conclusion and understanding. And I think the Red Sea is just a tremendous example of this. That the difficulties that were faced when God stretched forth his hand. In the old days, the years of the right hand of the Most High, the things that God's people were up against when he intervened in their behalf were every bit as difficult, every bit as impossible as anything we are facing now. Anything. There's nothing that any one of us is facing that's a deeper trial or a more difficult situation than the people of God have faced in other days, and certainly than what they faced at the Red Sea. There was no way out for them. And they couldn't know. How could they know how God would deliver them? And they probably never thought, that's what it seems to indicate here, his way, his path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. It seemed like it was the end for them. It seemed like there was no way through for them, no possibility of deliverance. And the way out was ahead of them. Through the sea, God's footprints led that way. They were invisible footprints. Who could ever have imagined it? And I'm sure that's the way, although he didn't expound it like this on that day, I'm sure that's the way my uncle was leading this sister. You know, God wants us to keep our eyes upon him no matter what. As he said through the prophet Habakkuk, let's see, how is that? We're going to rejoice in our God no matter what situations we face. The end of the book, it says, or near the end of the book, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in him. Delight yourself also in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. I have seen him do wonderful things. And I have heard from those who have gone before. And I've read in his word of great and mighty things that he has done. And he's the same God. And to realize that the situations that people were up against were just as bad, just as impossible, just as discouraging. It was like coming up to a brick wall. Maybe we feel that way too. I felt that I ought to just this morning take this song and see the great, great joy that the people of God had in seeing him work. But it wasn't like that before when they came up. They had no idea how God would deliver them. And we don't either. We don't know how he will intervene, but we want to keep our eyes upon him and trust him in every situation. Maybe there's someone you've been agonizing over their plight and you've been praying for them and you don't see how they will ever come out and come through. And yet God is a mighty God and a great Savior, mighty to save and strong to deliver. And we can trust him and look to him. And it may be, as I said, a situation that's impossible. Don't forget that the people of old, when God stretched forth his hand and did such great things, they didn't know the way through either. And the situation was just as impossible as anything that we see. And yet God stretched forth his hand and showed his power and brought deliverance and glorified his name. And he is able to do that in our day as well. And the thing he wants from us is that we keep our eyes upon him and that we look to him, trust him. Sometimes we don't see the answer that we have been asking for, the thing, you know, and God is yet working. He's working in his own way, and he has a way. And we don't always understand his ways, and that's understandable, because he's God. If we could understand everything about him and his ways, well, what would that mean about him and about us? But let me read you something that William Cooper wrote. I suppose he bases it upon this same thing, that God's footprints are in the sea. Yes, I see that here. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. God said, I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. Isaiah 42. And that's our God, our Savior. When Brother Rudy was speaking, I thought he planned to have a healing meeting, and he did. And he planned to have it go a certain way, or he thought it would. And then it came out differently. But I'm sure that God was directing that, as I hear the story. I wasn't there, but God was directing it. And it was a healing meeting. And God did great and wonderful things as his people gathered together and looked to him. God took over, Brother Rudy said. And that's what we need. God, we want to submit to you. We want to love you. We want to trust you with all of our hearts. We want to have faith in you. We know you have made wonderful promises, and we know you have done wonderful things. But Lord, we thank you that you are the same and that you are faithful in our day. And yes, we have an idea as to how we are wanting you to work and how we are expecting you to work. And Lord, your way may be different from what we're expecting, but we know that it will be wonderful, and your ways are higher than ours, as the heavens are higher than the earth. So help us to trust you with all of our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And then trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. You remember that verse, Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times. With all your heart and at all times, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. My soul, wait thou only upon God. From him comes our salvation. We put our trust in you alone, O Lord, and we want to trust you more. We want to honor you by trusting you with all our hearts and at all times. And Lord, you see the various situations that we are in, the different ones in this meeting. And perhaps we chafe under them, or we don't see the way through or the way out. Perhaps we agonize for others that are in difficult places and in desperate need. And oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to commit everything to you, and to be wide open to you in faith. Lord, if you would place upon us a burden of prayer, or put upon us a real prayer in the Spirit, help us to yield to you. Help us to be willing, and then also to follow your directions, Lord, as you lead us to share and to do and to speak for you. Oh God, let your love flow. Let your light be seen. Let your life be manifested. Let your gracious works be done, Lord. You have chosen us, and you have put your love in us, and you have prepared us, and you are equipping us to be your servants. And Lord, we want to serve you faithfully. And I pray that you'll help us to trust you more, to trust you more, and to know that your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher, and you know the way through. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning as we bring this little time that we've had together to a close. I want to pray that you will just make your love so very real to us. Let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Help us to know that God is for us. Help us to understand that God, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, will freely with him also give us all things that you see we need to fulfill in all of your purpose over us, O God. And help us to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, write this in our hearts, and then help us to be more fully yielded to you, we pray. For your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also from Psalm 62, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Blessed Lord, in thee is refuge, safety for my trembling soul, power to lift my head when drooping midst the angry billows roll. I will trust thee, I will trust thee. All my life thou shalt control. In the past, too unbelieving, midst the tempest I have been, and my heart has slowly trusted what my eyes have never seen. Blessed Jesus, teach me on thine arm to lean. Oh, for trust that brings the triumph when defeat seems strangely near. Oh, for faith that changes fighting into victory's singing or ringing cheer. Faith triumphant, knowing not defeat nor fear. Amen. Are you up to singing or playing sometimes? Are you up to playing number 10, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? Oh, good. Number 10, that one's in the hymn book, all right. Tom played it the other morning, and it went into my heart. Maybe you heard that after he played Holiness Unto the Lord. And I thought, we're going to sing this sometime. So let's do that in closing. Shall we stand? I like to sing through the line, like the hold in the middle we'll ignore, okay?
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He.
Rage we can't.
if that was there, but it's in my heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just want to say what a delight it has been to be here with you in these days. I'm thankful for every one of you. Thanks for being here. It's been great for me, and I hope for you. Now, I know some are staying through till the for the Labor Day weekend, and that's good, too. We'll continue to, I'm sure, have a great time together here at camp. But just want to pray God's blessing upon you all. St. Patrick has in his breastplate, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. We go in your name, O God. Your mighty name, your strong name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.